Your feet for the reading of the word. I know you've got brunch, barbecue, or nap evidently in your sights, but we're going to celebrate Jesus this morning. Luke 24 verse 5 and 6. This wall, it's y'all help me, pray for me. It's become a very big annoyance to me the last 3 weeks. It either needs to be on or taken down, and I keep saying, man, don't amen. So that was Brother Vail. I can hear that one. We are working feverishly with it. This is not our IT guy. This is way beyond them, and we've got parts ordered, and I told them last time, and I like their egg rolls, but I don't like their parts. I said, no more Chinese parts. Get the American made. I don't care what they cost. Let's get this thing up and running. But Jesus didn't need that to get up out the grave. We don't need that to have church, but we are working on it. In Jesus' name. Just thought I'd let that out a little bit. Luke 24, verse 5. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. I want to preach on the subject, six words. Jesus is alive. Act like it. Jesus is alive. Act like it. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he is risen indeed. You may be seated. I love the story of the resurrection. And I believe, and you're at a church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, from the dead, that it is available to believers. It quickens our body, the Bible says, which means to make alive, which means that you can have your own personal resurrection each and every day of your life. That when something is as not as God promised it to be, that you can speak to those things and call them that are not as though they are. That you can literally declare something and say what you want to see. And the power that raised Christ from the dead gives us that same quickening and making alive for any situation of our life. And I've been saying this a lot the last probably 18 months. And I always get a few cross-eyed stares when I say this. And please understand what I'm about to say. That Jesus did not come to heal me and to deliver me. He came to save me because I was lost. I knew there wouldn't be a lot of amen there because it seems contrary. Does Jesus heal? Of course he heals. Is it his will? Of course it's his will. Does he deliver? Of course he does. Is it his will? Of course it is. But he came because there was a chasm between us and God the Father. There was a chasm between us and a real literal place called heaven that was being prepared. And this is what God said. Adam messed it up one time, but plan B is not going to be a mess up. Because this time, I'm going to send my one and only son. This time, I'm going to wrap myself as God in deity, and I'm going to go to them. It's what we celebrate on Christmas. Jesus was 33 years old when he went to the cross, but for 30 years, he grew up as a little baby into a young man, into his adolescence, into a man. But at 30 years of age, he started his ministry on this earth, and he healed people along the way. He delivered people along the way, but he was on his way marching to a cross on Golgotha's hill because he said, if I can't get to the cross, it doesn't matter if they're healed. If I don't go to the cross, it doesn't matter if I deliver them. And so Jesus said, my entire purpose is to go to the cross. Because there is no resurrection without a crucifixion. There is no fulfillment of prophecy unless there's a crucifixion. I put it on social media on Friday. The only reason we can call it a Good Friday is because we know how the story ends. And that Friday, it wasn't good. It was bloody. It was gory. It was sad. But the reason we call it good is because we know it was necessary in the process to get to the Sunday morning. Can I encourage somebody that's in the Friday of your situation? Can I encourage you that Sunday's on its way? Can I encourage somebody that received a bad report from the doctor? I still call it good. Why? Because Sunday is on its way. You might have had some bad news the first quarter of 2021. The pandemic might be waning and you still feel like you're stuck. But I'm here to tell you that because Jesus got up, you can too. Because Jesus resurrected, you can too. You don't have to stay like you are. Because Jesus went to a cross, went to the grave, resurrected after 3 days, so that we might have life that's eternal life and abundant life that's here on this earth. Can I just encourage you that once he went to the cross, it was a healing that mattered, because he said, by your stripes we are healed. I love the healing on the way to the cross. But if it hadn't been for the cross and the resurrection, that healing wouldn't matter. But because he went to the cross, because he was resurrected, that means that the healing that he gives us, it's meant to stay. That means the deliverance he brings you into is not one day, one moment, momentarily. It's for your life. So if Jesus is alive, why aren't most people acting? Thousands of churches in America are being filled today for the first time after 15 months, and they will talk about a living Jesus, but they will act as if it's still his funeral. There's a cross on this stained glass, and they light it up when we baptize people. On that cross, you will not find Jesus. I used to wear a cross around my neck, and I apologize in advance to my Catholic friends in the room. Jesus is not on the cross. You need to take the cross off your neck that Jesus is on and get you an empty cross if you want to wear a cross. Too many Christians are acting and living as if Jesus is still on the cross. But can I tell you that Calvary's work was not complete until Sunday morning when Jesus got out of the grave. I'm going to tell you what's a better sign than just the cross is an empty tomb, because it announces to the world he did what he said he's going to do. He's alive. So we've got to act like he's alive. Quiet churches, dead churches, singing hymns today about he's alive. But if you walked in, you couldn't tell if they were burying their grandmother or whether it was Resurrection Sunday morning. That's why I love coming to Living Way, because you come to Living Way, it might make you uncomfortable to see somebody dancing. It might make you uncomfortable to hear somebody shout to the Lord. But let me tell you something, they don't complain that the concert's too loud. They don't complain about people jumping and spinning at the Final Four. So excuse me, actually don't even excuse me, deal with my praise to a risen God. Deal with my worship to a resurrected King. Deal with me acting like he's alive. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, deal with it. Ladies, I'm going to preach something you're going to love. It has nothing to do with the resurrection, but I couldn't get past it. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, verse 1, of Luke 24, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. The women took their spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. The women. Peter is crying. Thomas is doubting. James and John are talking about our place at the table and on the side of the King. That's null and void. But the women. Oh, I usually don't mention names anymore since we're on live stream. But I'm sorry, Pastor MacArthur out there in California that says women can't preach. Can I just tell you that the first person that saw the resurrection, the first person that announced the resurrection, the first person that preached the resurrection, the first person that extolled the resurrection was a woman. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the first woman to carry the word. Mary that broke the alabaster box, she was the only woman that Jesus said, I will remember your worship. The Samaritan woman went back and got the entire city of Samaria saved. I'm here to tell you, thank God for women that aren't crying in the corner, that aren't sitting down quiet, but are announcing and heralding a risen Savior. And for the men that say, I wish they wouldn't do that, maybe if you didn't, they wouldn't have to. Now I got to try to preach the men happy. The Bible says they show up, and they show up, listen to this, to put perfume, spices on the body of Jesus. You're going to shout in just a minute. This is a tradition that had been long kept so that the body would not stink. But I think these women had tapped in and they knew that didn't Jesus say that he was going to be dead 3 days. And I don't want him to stink if he's coming back. And so it's a faith-filled thing to show up at a tomb with a dead Jesus. But oh, it's a faith-filled thing to begin to anoint his body and say, Jesus, when you come back, you're going to come back with a swagger. You're going to come back smelling good, looking good as a king that has risen from the dead. Just a few months earlier, Jesus says, remove the stone. And all of Lazarus' family and friends said, don't remove it. He stinks. It's over. Jesus said, he will live and rise in the resurrection. Martha and Mary parroted and said, oh, I know that he will live and rise in the resurrection. And then Jesus blows his mind and their mind by saying, the resurrection is not a place. The resurrection is not an event. You are talking to the resurrection. It is a person. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the one who brings back life. They show up to the tomb carrying all of their spices and oils and perfumes. They show up, Sister Diane, and the tomb's empty. The stone has been rolled away. Verse 2 says they found it rolled away, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can I encourage you, quit looking for something that's not there. Better yet, quit looking for something in a way that it is no longer like. They were looking for the body. Oh, you should have been looking for the body, but the body's not in the grave. It's already been 3 days, sis. The grave doesn't hold the body. The body's still out there. He's still flowing. He's still walking. You got to go find the body. He said it's empty, and all of a sudden, boom, two men show up. There we are, men. Praise God. And they're glowing like lightning. The NIV says, and as they begin to talk and have this conversation, the women in fright bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the men said unto them, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Can I talk to somebody that's watching online today, and you go to a dead church, can I tell you, get out of the dead church. Leave the dead church. You don't have to come to Living Way, but find a life church. Find a resurrection church. Find a spirit-filled church. If you don't feel better about your future when you leave your church than when you walked in, find a new church. If they never mention the blood of Jesus and the resurrection, find a new church. If they don't preach repentance, find a new church. Why? Because there's too many people that are showing up looking for church and looking for Jesus, and what they really showed up to is a religious house of the oppressed, the possessed, the dead, the religious. But when you come into Living Way, and like churches, like Living Way, we are here, and it shouldn't matter if it's April, and it shouldn't matter if it's November, shouldn't matter if it's a Wednesday night in October. When you come in here, you ought to find Jesus, not in a dead form, not on the cross, but as he is today, all living, all life, all resurrected, all power and authority in his hands. Somebody give God praise. Seven words that changes history. He is not here. He has risen. And I'll say this, and I have. There's something that I've always overlooked, but it's probably the most important part of this conversation with the women and these angels. And this is what he said. He said, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. But this is my question. When did you forget? When did you forget what Jesus promised you? When did you forget what he said about your children? When did you forget what he said about your marriage? When did you forget what he said about the church? When did you forget what he said about you? When did you forget what he said about himself? And these angels start preaching a little bit to these women. And they're saying, I know you came to anoint his body, but his body doesn't need that kind of anointing anymore. Why? Because he's in a glorified state. He is resurrected. He's walking on this earth. He said, remember what he told. Flashback that the temple of God would be torn down, but 3 days later it would rise again. Can I encourage you, turn off CNN and turn on the resurrection. Turn off Fox News and turn on the resurrection. I know, listen, Randy Beamer, I know you're retired, and if you're watching, turn off News 4. Turn off Ken's 5. Turn off all of the news and turn on the resurrection. Why? Because when the resurrection's playing in my ear and in your spirit, you're going to remember what God told you about him, about them, about you, about here, about there. Can I encourage you? It's time that we get back to the Word of God. And if the Word says it, then I believe it. It's time that we get back to the Word of God and let the Word of God be our moral compass. The Hollywood elite are not your moral compass. Washington, D.C. is not your moral compass. Actually, they are. Whichever way they're going, I'm going the opposite way. I'm here to tell you, I am tapping in and remembering what God told me about the resurrection. I have no problem with Easter photo booths. I have no problem with the Easter bunny. I have no problem with big programs and all the great things that churches are doing today. But can I remind everyone that it's not about hunting eggs? It's not about chocolate Easter bunnies. The reason that most of the world has paused today, the reason that our nation had Friday off and some tomorrow off, is because there was a man named Jesus that loved us enough that while we were yet still sinners, he came to this world. Give me 3 or 4 more minutes. He's alive. So act like it. Here's a big one. He's alive, so talk like it. Some of us talk as if he's dead. You're dropping F-bombs. You're using his name in vain. You're gossiping. You're gossiping. You're gossiping. You're bringing division at your job. You're trying to bring division to the church. And I'm here to tell you, you have to remember that the same God you're praying to heal you also hears what you say about your husband to your BFF. The same God that you want to show up and heal our land is the same one that hears you in the break room saying things that should not be uttered about another human being. That same God hears you, and maybe it's not negative talk, maybe it's not perverse talk, but can I tell you that all good talk bows to God talk, and we need more God talk every day of our life? Get negative, I turn you off as quick as I can. There's some people I can't wait to get off the phone. And you know how when nowadays, especially, you shake hands with someone and you can't wait to get out of their eye shot. So you... sometimes I hang up the phone. I gotta sanitize my mind and my spirit. Why? Because that talk is adverse to the resurrection. And I want that resurrection to not be an event 2,000 years ago. I want Jesus to live right here, right now in my life. Talk like it. Walk like it. If the resurrection is true and Jesus is alive, you can't go to the places that you used to go. Well, Pastor, I'm going to be all men to all things and I'm going to go win them. No, boo, you work on you first. We can't trust you up in the clubs. We can't trust you up in the bars. We can't trust you down that street. We can't trust you in your old neighborhood. We can't trust you with him. We can't trust you. It's not that we don't trust you. It's we don't trust the old devil that's mad that you found out about the resurrection and wants to quiet you and take you back to who you used to be. Talk like it, walk like it, live like it. Every part about us. Just speak resurrection. That's why the Bible says that when Jesus died and resurrected and ascended, that when you read further in the book of Acts after the church's birth, which we are that New Testament church, you read the book of Acts, that's who we are. The Bible says, Sister Chris, that the apostles were walking down the street and their shadow were bringing healing. Wouldn't it be something that in the break room at your job, when they got a birthday cake, the third one of the week for one of your coworkers, and everybody's in there singing happy birthday, but you got one coworker that is in stage 2 cancer, and the doctors don't know what to do, and you just showing up because you believe in the resurrection, and your shadow happens to fall on her hand, and the next time she goes back to the doctor, she comes back and says, it's the craziest thing. They hadn't given me much hope, but here I am now. They say they can't find cancer. Wouldn't it be amazing, young person, the next time you walk down, that every locker that your shadow fell on, that the next time they touched that locker, they fell out and were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a revival and an awakening that only happens when we realize Jesus is alive. And I have to act like it. If we were to take a trip overseas today, and we were to go to the Sho Dragon, the largest Buddhist temple, one of the largest Buddhist temples in all of the world, in and around that temple, there's 200 smaller temples. It sits 200 feet up from all of the other temples. They literally have Buddha's body in pieces. In one temple, you'll find in a little gold box his finger bone. In another temple, you'll find some of his teeth. Millions of Buddhists march through there to pay their respect. Then if you were to get on a plane and go to other parts of Arabia, you would find the Green Mosque in Medina, where the Prophet Muhammad of Muslim lay in a state of rest. Millions of Muslims will walk by and pay their last respects to a man that never got back up. Then in Shantung, China, on a little grassy mound, a little hill, there lies Confucius. Confucius is regarded as one of the wisest men to ever live, had hundreds of millions of followers. Those three men, their bodies still lay there. Millions upon millions will pass by
say a few words. They'll pay their last respect. But if you and I were to get in a 787 Boeing and fly to the great city of Jerusalem, millions of people go to the tomb of Jesus. The only difference is it's an empty tomb. The only difference is Jesus is not lying there. And I love this. We don't pay our respects, but when we think about the empty tomb, we begin to praise the living God. The only God who said, I will die, but don't you worry, church. I will be back, and I will be better than ever. I will be in a glorified state. Stand on your feet. I love this. When you read the account of Christ, after the women were at the tomb, they run back, and I wasn't just preaching hyperbole. All the disciples except Thomas are in a room, sad, crying, depressed. And then, boom, Jesus is in the room. They didn't realize he was in the room because he didn't use a door. Two reasons why he didn't use a door. He was in his glory state. But the main reason Jesus didn't use the door, he is the door. He said, I am the door. Which gives whole new revelation that he's not a way finder. He's a way maker. If I can't find, I am the way. I am the truth. So Jesus is alive, church. Let's act like it. Can I say it like this? I'm a Christian first. White is a very distant second. I'm a Christian first. My political persuasion is a distant third, fourth, fifth, thousandth. We're Christian. We're Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. Resurrection Day is 365 days. You know, every time your clock goes off at 5 a.m. and you say, oh, man, you should say, oh, man, Resurrection Day. I hardly ever do this, but I feel that it would be the right thing to do right now. I want everybody's head bowed, every eye closed. Because I feel in this season where people are coming back to church, lots of first-time guests here today, many faces we haven't seen in a year, but also there's people that are here that maybe you know about Jesus, you know the resurrection. Maybe you have accepted him at a previous moment in your life, but you haven't talked like it, walked like it, lived like it. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. For two reasons. Number one is to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life, the door. The article "the" is used, meaning there is no other way. Sorry, Muhammad, you cannot get to God. Sorry, Buddha. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Sorry, Confucius. There is only one way to get to God the Father in heaven. That is Jesus Christ. You've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. I'm talking to you right now. What are you waiting for? What have you got to lose? Let me tell you what you've got to lose. Pain, past, fear, worry, anxiety, depression, sickness, addiction. That's everything you're going to lose when you say yes to Jesus. But let me tell you what you gain. You gain eternity.